Katie and Tony, and this is, I don't think it's a word, but we'll say the 6-month anniversary coming up.
Now it is.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, big deal. So, first off, does it feel like 6 months? Does it feel like, oh my God, we just opened the gates yesterday and here we are? Or does it feel like 6 years?
Sometimes it feels like 6 months. You know, we had a fair busy from September 8th and then it through December. Then it fell off a little bit. And that gave us a little chance to reset. But so there's times it feels like 6 months and there's times that feel like 6 years.
And how's it gone? I mean, overall, if you scale a 1 to 10, would you say, you know, where would you put?
So, from a product delivery point of view, it has gone quite well. On a scale of 1 to 10, and I'm using the guest feedback metric. And so we're getting a lot of positive feedback from our guests. And quite honestly, this is such a hybrid of a park. In some instances, they weren't quite sure what to get. You know, we did a fair amount of marketing leading up to this, but for the most part, it has exceeded expectation from a guest point of view, and that's direct guest feedback to us. But from an administrative executional point of view, when you open a park of this size with this type of volume throughput, there's always these operational procedural items behind the scenes that it just doesn't start and stick and get systematic from day one. You have to procedurize it. You have to make sure it aligns with culture. You're creating a culture, you know, 200 plus employees operating in synergy, understanding mission, delivering. It takes a while to get there. You don't just pull 200 folks together, never worked before, and then in 1 month you get it, or in 6 months you get it. So we're constantly working, refining, getting better in that regard.
I mean, not only that, but there's no paradigm for this park. This is a one-off out of the chute, right?
It's a hybrid of a park, you know. It does not fit the traditional public park narrative and space, and in the traditional sense, it is a public park, but it's a hybrid of a park, and it's not a theme park, and it doesn't fit the theme park model either. But it has 5-acre adventure playgrounds and concerts, and in many instances, it operates closer to a theme park, and not just a theme park, a world-class theme park where customer service is at the very forefront and the guest experience. And so, it's a hybrid of a park. And to our knowledge, there isn't a single park quite like this with the amount of content and the experiences that we have, over 100 different experiences in one day. So, you know, it's a cool thing, man. It's a cool experience, and it's a hybrid of a park, and yeah, our guests are discovering it. It's a landscape park, you know, over 1.2 million plants and shrubs and over 6,000 trees and 16 different soil. Engineered soil to support different plant material. It's a landscape park designed by landscape designers, Michael Van Lockenberg and Associates. So it can be many things to many people.
And I think it is. So let me ask you something, Katie. So what kind of response are you getting from people, and I'm talking about media, people that like in my business that are from around the country that come here and see this or want to come here and see this? Or is it getting traction? And what is their reaction when they actually get here?
I think it's pretty consistently just wow. I mean, people are, when they come from around the country or from around the region, and even international reporters that we've talked to, just when they see pictures and they see video, they always say it doesn't do it justice until you come here and you experience it and you see it in person. So I think overwhelmingly that's been the response, is just amazement and wow. And they just had no idea that this could exist all together in one place.
It's also important to note the international interest we're getting.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. Like, are you getting...
We are. You know, we know part of the civic plan behind the parks that will help to bring attention to Tulsa. And really, you know, we're positioning it no longer flyover state is Oklahoma, right? You got to come and see us. But just this week, an international reporter from Australia called and says, hey, we saw a little bit about your park and can we do a story on the park? And how cool is it that the world is reaching out and wanting to better understand what's happening in Tulsa and to tell us more about the park? It's pretty cool.
It's it's way cool.
Way cool.
And it's definitely part of the momentum of the city right now.
It really is.
Now, yesterday I saw your picture in the newspaper, Katie, because you were introducing the new app.
Right.
And tell me a little bit about how that came about.
A park for all, and we are the diversity for demographics, you know, from toddlers to seniors to millennials to tweens and teens. And we wanted to have multiple ways for our guests to experience the park, to navigate the park. And we have a park map, and that works quite well because some folks like that tangible piece of paper as they go through. You can go on our website and also learn a lot about a park. But we wanted a mobile app. We wanted a mobile app that would engage the park. We wanted a mobile app that would provide a different experience to the sense of discovery in how our guests interact with the park. And we have push notifications and beacons that will draw you in, that we can align with descriptions and narratives about our programming. We can talk about dining opportunities, talk about our gift shop. And so it's another way that our guests would experience the park. And we purposely wanted to hold back until our spring launch to introduce some new and cool stuff.
Okay, so what's the spring launch? What's that mean?
And just one more thing on the app. I mean, it is free to download on iPhone. Just got to give it a plug. Free to download on iPhone and Android. Thanks to our sponsors, AARP Oklahoma. And I thought what was cool about the launch was we had some of their volunteers, and Tony mentioned it was an intergenerational tool, but their volunteers from AARP were interacting with the app, and it was easy for them to use, and really user-friendly.
Is it kind of geared a little bit for older folks
I would say for all. You know, a lot of times, as you know, the transition with technology and the comfort level, a lot of the older demographics are like, you know, I'm not going to mess with that. But with AARP being our partners, AARP Oklahoma, we really wanted to make sure that there was a friendly utility function that anyone could get on there. Now, I'll be honest, some of them initially said the first day wasn't, but by the second day, they got it. And they gave us high points for usability from a utility point of view. And so, yes, we want that a 13-year-old can log on and use it and download it to their phone. And, you know, if an 80-year-old wants to do the same, they can. It's just such a great interactive piece that spans multi-generation.
And that had to be a little bit of a challenge, finding, you know, something that appeals all the way across that spectrum.
Sure.
So what that is kind of the whole idea of gathering.
That's who we are.
All right, so you said spring launch. I heard those words, and I went, oh, that sounds like what's coming next.
So just to talk about spring, we've got to talk about 100 days, right? Our 100 days programming and events and entertainment was kind of strategic.
When we started, yeah.
And the idea was, as you know, we didn't want to be overwhelmed by heavy visitations our first couple of months and can't manage logistically all the crowd flows that we had. So our strategy was to spread the opening for 100 days and have compelling events spread out over a longer window. So you're not compelled to come the first week or the second week. You have 100 days to do so. And true to plan, it worked well and was well executed, and we had manageable crowds. Now, outside of 100 days, for 2019, we're starting to get into a more normalized schedule. We strongly think, from what we've seen and how we've forecast, from spring break to roughly October is going to be our sweet spot of high volume attendance. And then obviously we did Winter Wonderland in December to extend that a bit. But that's our window. Spring break, you could arguably say Memorial Day to Labor Day, mm-hmm. Which is traditional in the park business. With that, we're now getting into programming and events that we want to be what we call signature items and signature events and repeatable events, events that we can build some equity on and year after year promote it. And really our hope is to start to have regional draws where someone in Oklahoma City, someone in Dallas, someone in Kansas City, someone in St. Louis says, hey, I know the Gathering Place is having this Native American festival, we have to go and see it. This is the third year they're doing it. So we want to build on the momentum of year over year. So we, as the marketing and operations and programming team, got together and look at what would be a compelling portfolio of events that, true to our brand, would appeal to a wide cross-section of demographics, would also be fun, would also have an element of education in there, as, you know, our childhood education is important, as, you know, to our foundational ties, a strong sense of health and wellness. And so we want the gathering place to really meet all these, check these boxes. And so we design our events around those initiatives. And we're excited about it, man.
So spring is, I'm looking at my watch, like 2 weeks from today. Are you already announcing some of what you plan to do, some of the program events, maybe?
I'll have Katie talk about the spring launch, and then I'll talk more about the calendar of events that we're going to
okay.
have.
Yeah, so first up, we have spring break coming up in just a couple of weeks. We have educational programming every day. Every day has a different theme, from sports to STEM education to art and music. We have a family day, so there's really something every day. We have a lot of community partners that are coming out to help with programming, and it's really going to be a fun free event for families over the holiday. So whether you're staying in Tulsa or coming to visit Tulsa for spring break, really something for everyone to do. Then later in the month, in March, we will launch our we'll do a marketing launch for the programs coming up for the spring summer season. So that's coming up really soon, so stay tuned.
So good radio term.
Right. So first of all, we kind of want to acknowledge on a local level the award that we got from the USA Today, being recognized as one of America's top, the top new attraction in the U.S. For 2019. And we want to share that nationally, internationally if we can. But we also want to acknowledge locally, and this was done via a vote, and we certainly know that Tulsans and Oklahomans really voted and supported us on that. So we're going to start off with an Oklahoma music tribute, where we'll invite local Oklahoma musicians to be a part of a one-day musical fest. And this is like our kickoff of for more signature events, just to say thanks and just to engage. And really, it's coming out and just letting everyone know we're open again. We've always been open, but the weather is beautiful. And the Gathering Place has an awesome portfolio of events for the year. So that's one big event we're going to have. Our boat operation, we will officially launch our boat operation during spring, and the weather will be nice, and so folks will get a chance to kayak and paddle out and canoe out into our boats, and so we're pretty excited about that. In addition to that, now what Katie has done with Kirsten Hine, our VP of Programming, is literally look at the year and align the calendar all the way out to ensure that we have a nice mix, not just at the front end, not just in the middle, and not just in the end. So there'll be a calendar that will be out that our Tulsans and anyone in Oklahoma can go out and look and say, look, I wanna go to this event, I can plan, the dates will be out. So look forward to this calendar. But some of the items that are really cool that's coming out. We're gonna have, our dog days are coming back, and as you know, Tulsans love their pets, man, and we're thinking hard to find a way to make it more compelling, and so look forward for a little bit more information on our Dog Day Wednesdays and how we're gonna make it cool and engaging for all. We're gonna partner with our sisters and friends from River Parks on Freedom Fest, and as you know,
kind of saw that one coming.
It's a natural location for it. It's the best place to see it. It's elevated.
Yep.
And I'll even tell you more. We stayed here last July 4th, and from the very top, where our North Bridge is on Swing Hill, you can look back at Jinx and see their fireworks, and you can see all the fireworks in a 360 point of view. This is the place where you want to be to see the fireworks. So that's coming in, and we're partnering with them and adding a little bit to that experience, and we're excited to partner with the folks from River Parks. We have a Caribbean festival, a two-day weekend festival. One day will be, I think we're using Caribbean vibes. It's going to be a lot of musical vibes. The first day is going to be more like a carnival, calypso, and the second day will be a lot about reggae, and so we're excited about that. We have a lot of Hispanic and Latino cultural events and music and food, and Viva Tulsa is going to be a big hit for us. We're going to have a unique opportunity, what we're calling Tulsa in Harmony, We're inviting a lot of the local churches to be a part of a gospel fest for one day, and they're all, and we're going to invite some national acts around that. We're going to do a Tulsa 3-on-3 basketball tournament, a weekend, two-day tournament. We had one here prior that John Starks did it a while back, and we're going to bring that back. We're going to add some fusions with some NBA players, and we're going to have a tournament. So, hey, man, lace up your sneakers, and if you have some game, bring it, because
I'm out. Be,
hey, man, anybody can play.
I can dribble really well. I just can't shoot.
Well, let somebody shoot. You pass the ball, right?
Right.
But we're going to have a pretty cool 3-on-3, that tournament, that we want that to be an annual event. And I know the a lot of different clubs are psyched.
Yeah, the John Starks 3-on-3 thing, that was a big deal.
That's what I heard. I wasn't here for that.
Several years, yeah.
So we're bringing that back. Cool. And then, you know, we're going to do a Halloween in a cool way, a very kid-friendly way. And so we're going to have sweets and treats on Spooky Street. And Katie and the programming team are putting together, with a gentleman named Albert, who's our creative director, a very cool and engaging, family-friendly way that we'll do Halloween. And we're going to have a beer and wine festival here in the park, different from Oktoberfest. And our friends at Philbrook also have a wine festival, and it'll be scheduled at a time that won't compete with anything that's currently going on, but it'll be a great opportunity for food pairing and food tasting. What pairs well with craft beers? What tastes pairs well with wines? And so, Food Truck Nation, where we'll bring all our food trucks out and a wide combination of food. We're going to have a barbecue festival, where we'll have a barbecue cook-off. And on the health and wellness, we're going to focus on four agendas: obesity, diabetes, health and wellness, and vision. And we're partnering with local groups that specialize in that from a medical point of view. And we wanted this to be an opportunity for the community to come out and get tested in different ways and create awareness in these areas. So, a lot's going on. This will be in a calendar that Katie and the marketing team will put out, and our programming team with Kirsten Hine is working hard with Albert to get this ready. And you know, we always say we're excited, but look, you know, we're getting in our seventh month here soon, and the park's going to come to life in a very cool way.
Man, I mean, that's, you guys are going to be like super busy, and like you said, the idea is to kind of create sort of a cycle of events that will move forward.
Correct.
So some of the stuff may work gangbusters, some of it may not be everything you wanted it to be, and then you adjust, and you, but you keep the same framework moving forward.
Yeah, and we're investing in some of these, and hoping that, well, we're investing in all of these. And what I didn't mention, and we constantly get asked, so are the events gonna still be free moving forward? We knew they were free for the 100 days. But will they continue to be free? And that's when I gotta say thanks to the George Kaiser Family Foundation, thanks to our over 80 donors that gave, because of the philanthropic generosity of Tulsa, these events are free. Now, mind you, I wanna make a little bit of money on some food and beverage and some products,
and
but these events are free.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so there's one thing that has been a bugaboo, and you know exactly where I'm going.
Where are you going?
I would say 3 years ago, I turned to the gentleman that I was giving me the tour of the someday this is going to be the coolest park ever, and I said, really? So how are you guys going to handle parking? And he said, we got it. And it's been kind of a thing. And the thing is, like, today I pulled up, I parked, I mean, it's a normal day, there's tons of parking, but it's what you're talking about is having these big events, you know, consistently. What is the plan moving forward to get people here and out, I guess, swiftly and efficiently? And I will say this, I brought my wife and I brought our grandson out. He'd never been to the park.
How old is he?
Four.
Very cool.
I saw your pictures.
You saw the pictures? Great, yeah. Is that kid cute? Anyway, he was, I mean, agog, and it was an awesome experience. And there was people out here in lime green jackets helping us find a parking place, because it was a busy Sunday afternoon at the park. And that was impressive. Maggie was very impressed by that. That's my wife. I said, yeah, and we were able to find parking. So normal day-to-day operations, not a problem. But when you're doing Caribbean Day, and when you're doing the, what is it, treats?
Sweets and treats on Spooky Street.
There's going to be a ton of people. Now, I noticed some parking over there, like they're oiling the lot.
We graveled a lot. We lost a lot of rainy days because the water settled on the lots and we couldn't park. Mm-hmm. And so we spent a pretty penny and graveled it just to give us consistent utility of those lots.
Looks like they were oiling it today.
And the oil is an anti-dust cover. Right. That, and it's not an oil. It's a substance, a mixture that puts in that reduces the dust. And so we certainly want for neighbors that the gravel didn't add to additional dust. You know, first we put grass, but, you know, parking on it, the grass kind of took a little bit of beating. But so parking, yeah, you know, we're at a delicate window. You know, in the park business, they say don't build the church for Easter Sunday.
Right.
Because
we had that conversation.
Yes, indeed. You know, after a while, it normalizes, and you mentioned a normal day. Now, for the traditional public park, we have, based on the parking allocation that's given for a traditional public park, we have enough parking for an average park.
This ain't no average park.
This is no average park. And we're getting, and something to mention, the visitation that we're getting, the repeat visitation, you know, Juan Moret that came 100 days straight, Mr. 100 Days we call him. But the repeat visitation has been quite impressive. And unlike your traditional park where people are coming back again, we had days where it was 19 degrees, cold and icy, and there were kids out in the park. And I'm literally saying, why are you here? But I say that to say that we are a victim of our own success. And with world-class programming in a world-class park, we're getting visitations that are not normal or traditional. And so we did not want to have this massive parking lot next to all these homes, and it's often referred as, you know, this Walmart look with this massive empty lots. Right. And so we strategically had pocket parks along, and we have about, you know, roughly, you know, 550 spots, and that's a lot. But when you start to get in these busy days, when you're getting attendance, you know, 15,000 guests a day, and we had satellite parking, it was a little bit off, but it's a challenge. Now, historically, a park attendance normalizes year three when it gets into regular visitation. And so I know someone will say, what are you going to do until year three? But we graveled the lots, and we hope that that will help for consistent parking. And we're working closely, and I don't want to speak officially because it's work in progress, but we're working closely to find a way to capitalize on, you know, weekends are our peak, right? Everyone mm-hmm. knows that. On weekends where we have a lot of empty lots sitting downtown, parking garages downtown, how can we capitalize those empty spots? And so we're working with some initiatives with the city, and we're close. I'm not in a position to say yet until it's inked and dried. But we're working on some additional parking options, and we're also rethinking the satellite parking. You know, it was used a lot during our first couple months in the OSU lots, and our friends from River Spirit that allowed us to use their lots, and we're so thankful for that. But we're trying to find something closer that will allow, if we can, in walking distance, you know. Victims of our own success. Year three, yes, it will normalize, but on those busy days, we're going to have additional satellite parking.
Well, you say it will normalize, but you don't know that. It could continue, because, again,
great product.
There's no prior history for a park like this. This is a first of its kind
Indeed.
Thing. You don't really know. I mean, you can kind of predict based on similar things,
sure,
but it's
sure.
like the first time you go to the moon, you really aren't sure exactly what you're going to find when you land on the moon.
We're trending where we've never trended before.
Right.
We don't have historical data. And everyone knows this, but I'll say it. There are also long-term initiatives being looked at in different areas. And I don't want to go on record and say, hey, we're looking in this area to do this and to do parking here, but this working with the city and working with the mayor's office, we're doing a long-term master plan that will address some of that. I know that doesn't solve the issue today or tomorrow, but there is long-term initiatives where infrastructures are being examined and look at a wide range of options to see what else can be. But we won't speak about that until we're rock solid on
it. Well, and the important thing people need to know is, you know, we're on it. We're working on it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, listen, you guys have been so awesome, and I know I'm almost out of time, so I'll just say anything else that you want to add? Or
no, thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you guys in our next 6 months. And yeah, happy 6-month anniversary to Gathering Place and all of our visitors. Thank you for making it what it is, because they really put the heart into the park. And so thanks for coming out, and we look forward to seeing you in the new season.
And the only thing I'll add again is thank you to the city of Tulsa. Thank you to George Kaiser Family Foundation. Thank you to all our 80 donors that gave to make this a free experience for Tulsans and for Oklahomans. We hope this will continue to be a regional draw and help to help the local economy. And we'll get hotel stays out of this and rental cars out of this. And that we will continue to play a part in enhancing the city of Tulsa.
Yeah, I mean,